take your seats. School is now in session.
Homeschool Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
I don't want to do that.
Test one, two. Test one, two.
Okay.
I don't want to do that at all.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the Homeschool Podcast. I am the host of the Homeschool Podcast, as always, Augustino Zoida, and I have a guest calling in today. My guest today is Dustin Ibarra, a very funny comedian, stand-up comedian, and, of course, comedic actor, and just a good friend of mine. But before we get into that, let's get into some of the business. First of all, it's great to have you guys back, and it's great to be back in your lives, whether you're, I'm in your living room or your workplace, whatever it is, I'm so happy to be a part of it. I know you got a lot of options for podcasts, especially nowadays. What else is there to do but to pass the time with some great podcasts? And I really appreciate you choosing us, the Homeschool Podcast, at this particular moment. And listen, guys, it's another new week. It's a brand new week. You know me, man. We're doing two podcasts a week. I always drop it on Tuesday and Fridays. And here we are. So far, so good. Not missing any. Okay, so proud of that. Maybe you aren't, but hey, it's tough to get these out, so we're doing it, and we're gonna keep doing it. Got some things in the works. Got a lot of things in the work, like a comedy album. It's coming out soon, and possibly a brand new segment to the podcast, which I'm working on, and where I'm gonna be once a week, just dropping a premise for a new joke on you guys. Which I might be doing video only, so the videos will be on YouTube and Instagram and maybe more, but that's going to be a new segment that you won't be able to just listen to. You got to watch it. It's video, so that'll be coming soon. I'll keep you guys posted. Before we begin this episode, I want to remind you that it's brought to you by Masterclass. Very important now, more than ever, you guys. Listen. Ever since this pandemic, this lockdown, this quarantine that everybody's dealing with right now, I've been getting a lot of feedback about Masterclass, and I'm telling you guys the truth here. People contact me and they tell me that they're finally pulling the plug on Masterclass. They've been hearing me talk about it on this podcast for over a year now, and now's the time to finally do it because they're bored or because they're using this time wisely and they want to learn something. I'll tell you guys the truth. Most people, they're hitting me up and going, hey, I signed up for Masterclass. And I'm like, okay, great. What class have you guys taken so far? And mostly people are telling me the cooking class. Hey, that's fucking great, man. That's awesome. I'm glad that you guys are doing something. And people are just going, with this time, I wanted to just, you know, cooking is fun and they wanted to get better at it. It's a couple things they want to learn. And sometimes it's just great to go back to basics. So whatever it may be, maybe it's something that you've always wanted to start and never have, or maybe it's something that you have already started and you just want to just be a little better at it. You just want to go back to basics and learn from the professionals. That's what Masterclass is great for. Maybe you're a stand-up comic and there's a comedy class, or a writer, there's a writing class, filmmaker, director. They have just about everything, you guys. And maybe there's more than one thing that you're interested in. That's why Masterclass is great, because they offer, you know, instead of paying per class, they offer a, an annual subscription. So you can take multiple classes all at once. And right now, let me tell you what they're doing right now. So by the way, the link's going to be in the description of this podcast, and you can also go to homeschooledpod.com and click on sponsors. And when you click on sponsors, you're going to see all the sponsors, products, and services that sponsor this podcast. And you can click right on the Masterclass banner, and that'll do it too, or the link will be in the description. So you can right now go and subscribe for an entire year. It's only $15 a month if you pay for the whole year at once. It comes out to $15 a month. And when you do that, you're going to get an entire year for free. Buy 1 year, gift 1 year. So you can gift a year of lessons to somebody else that you know that might appreciate it. Okay, so you yourself are getting hooked up and you're hooking somebody else up. So, I mean, it's a win-win for everybody. You get hooked up, your friend gets hooked up, Masterclass is happy, and of course, you're supporting the Homeschool Podcast. Also, this episode is brought to you by Personal Chef To Go. right now this is coming in handy where, you know, you're waiting in line to get groceries. I mean, how about a service that's offering food delivered right to your door? Meals delivered right to your door. So you can have a, you know, a meal delivered right to your door. Listen, guys, it's a subscription. You can try it out for a week or a month, whatever you like. You control it. You're in control. They're pre-made meals. It comes pre-packaged. So you're talking about portion control, not having to worry about cooking, not having to worry about if this is healthy. So it's healthy pre-packaged meals, and you're ready to go, delivered right to your door. So go ahead on over to Personal Chef To Go. And each week they send you a menu, and you talk with your own personal chef about what you want to eat that week, and they just pack it up individually, and it's ready to go. Check it out. The link is also going to be in the description, or it'll also be at homeschoolpod.com. Click on sponsors. And that's the sponsors for this week, but it's always important for me to remind you, while you're over there at homeschoolpod.com, not only should you be subscribing on everything or leaving 5-star reviews on wherever you listen to this, but you should also be supporting the Homeschool Podcast if you can. We would appreciate a t-shirt or purchase or something like that. That helps us out a lot. A t-shirt, I got beach towels, I got hoodies, I got sweatshirts, we got yoga pants, tank tops, mugs, pillows, stickers, anything helps, you guys. Head on over to homeschoolpod.com and click on merch and shop around. We got the awesome Homeschool Podcast logo over there. And without further ado, let's give our guest today a call, Dustin Ibarra. I'm going to give him a call. Dustin has been on the show a couple times before. He's a close friend of mine, one of my closest friends in stand-up comedy when I first started. And he's such a beastly, hilariously funny stand-up comedian. And you know, has had great success. He's as a comedic actor, he's very talented, and he's just a fun guy, and I love him. So let's give him a call. There he is. It's Dusty time. What's up, buddy?
Mm-hmm.
What are you up to over there? Talk to me.
What's up, buddy? Not much. Just doing quarantine.
Dude, I can't even tell you how many times I've thought of you in the last couple of weeks. Because a couple of years ago, we lived together.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say? What am I going to say?
When we were roommates, the doomsday prepping I did.
Dude, you were such a doomsday prepper. Not even, okay, I take it back. Not like such, not like you're like crazy about it or anything like that. But whenever I think of like doomsday prepping, I always think like the closest person I know is Dustin Ibarra.
I know, and now it's here and I'm completely unprepared.
No way, really?
No, I'm doing all right. What did I have over there? Didn't I just have a big bag of beans and a big bag of rice? That was usually my go-to doomsday ammo.
It's rice and beans.
Huge bag of beans and a huge bag of beans, huge bag of rice, and then, you know.
Well, dude, I remember that at one point you had the biggest supply I've ever seen in my life of Top Ramen noodles.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes, that's right. I do, man.
And then when you brought it all home.
You can't find them at the store. They're sold out everywhere.
Yeah, dude, that's the cheapest thing. It's the easiest thing to make. I was talking to Rico back in Boston, and I was like, dude, are you prepared? He's like, I got a bunch of Top Ramen.
I know. That is so, like, that's what we're going to live off of.
So, dude, I remember you brought all that home, and I was like, why did you buy so much? And you were just like, bro, if anything goes wrong, I got us.
Right? Bad timing.
And then I remember going into your closet, which, like, don't ask me why I was in your closet, but I think it was at one point when you were like on the road, and I don't remember why I was in your closet.
You were snooping through my shit.
I don't think I was snooping. I honestly think that, like, you asked me to get something. I don't remember why I was in your closet. To be honest with you, we had parties there all the time, and people just in and out of the house that I mean, there was always somebody in somebody's room. And then I remember
people were in and out of that. That was a load of fun.
It was a load of fun. But in your closet, dude, you had the bag of beans, like a giant bag of rice, like you were trying to open your own sushi restaurant or something. And then, and then you had like so much water, like cases of water and like jugs of water. Do you remember that?
That's right, man. I was so much better prepared, dude. I got caught slipping during this thing. I still got water, but that was definitely my apex of doomsday prepping. Was it your place?
What happened?
I remember
to you?
Thinking too. I don't know. I got cocky, bro. Once you got on a TV show, you don't think you need doomsday prep anymore. You know?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, virus outbreak. Bam.
Yeah, celebrities don't get viruses. Man, they were the first ones to get it.
They were, right?
Yeah, they were.
Everyone got it.
What have you been doing to keep yourself busy, man?
I don't know, dude. It sucks because I've always been very doom and gloom. And it's kind of hard to... I've just been trying to maintain positivity, bro.
That's all you can do.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah, just trying to just, like... Your head, before this happened, my head, which a lot of other people, our brain just sends us down spirals sometimes. And with this whole thing, it's even worse. It's like now you... Before, sometimes I would just make up shit in my head to be worried about or be scared of, you know? And now this is like, this is actually giving me like, I don't know, what's that word, like confirmation. Like I'm like, oh yeah, see, oh, things are bad. I have to stay away from that because that doesn't help anyone. It doesn't help me. It doesn't help anyone I love. It doesn't help anything, you know?
You know, man, I was going through, like, I was having, like, a really great 2020 I was having a promising 2020. Even in, like, I'd say, like, November of 2019, my 2020 was looking great. You know when, like, things in your career are going great and you're starting to get more and more gigs and you start to think to yourself, this is my year. And then this happened, man. And, like, I could sit here and be like, dude... You know, I'm depressed because my life and my career was finally going great, and then this stupid coronavirus thing happened. But you know what, bro? That's bullshit, too, because I know as well as you do that every single year, it always looked great. And then somewhere along the line, it went downhill, too. Like, the year for comics, like, always starts out great because, like, the end of... Each year, you're like getting ready for next year. Man, next year I'm going to kill it in comedy. Next year, man, you know, like I'm going to stop doing those bad habits and I'm going to start doing those good ones. And then, you know what I mean? And you actually do it for like the first few months. And then, like, things kind of like.
Feel good.
It goes so good because, like, and then the holidays are over and you start getting gigs again. And then you're just like, but then somewhere along the lines of like summer. Things go down again, and it's just like, dude, that was gonna happen anyway.
You know? I think it's like, for me, I've always January was always like getting ready for pilot season, you know, or at least the past few years. So it's been like, okay, something's gonna happen, you know. This will be, and then summer, if you don't have anything, then it's like, all right, well, next pilot season, I'm getting ready for next pilot season. But this one was going pretty decent. I was in the mix for. A couple of right before this went down, I was in the mix on something, and that's not happening.
So you had a pretty decent pilot season, like you got picked up on some stuff, but now it's not happening.
I had a couple of shows that I was in the mix for, but like, nothing. Everything's kind of halted right now.
Right. So as an actor, this has really affected you. I mean, this has affected everyone, bro. No one's off limits.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's like everyone is in the same boat, you know what I'm saying? It's not like
my
car broke down. It's like everyone's car broke down at the same time on the planet, you know?
Dude, even homeless people are feeling it. They're just like, man, like people don't even want to give change no more. You know what I mean?
Man, I don't have to move to the bad side of town. Like, what is it? This Hollywood area is getting too expensive, the streets. I'm going to have to move to...
people won't even come in 6 feet of me. I can't ask for change. You know what I mean? Like some along the lines.
That's right. Yeah.
Everybody on different levels has been affected by it.
Yeah, I guess they're putting homeless people in our hotels now and stuff. That's a horrible fucking idea.
But you know what's fucked up? They never did that before.
They never did that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to take care of the dudes and stuff, but like people were saying, like I was reading online, like it's just you're dealing with some people that are like mentally unstable.
Yeah.
And a lot in the past, there have been a lot of cases where people just destroy their rooms and stuff, and it's like,
right?
People can go nuts, you know. I was on Reddit today, just reading horror stories about that. But it's like one of those things. What are you gonna do, you know?
Hey man, so since we're kind of on the topic, let me ask you your opinion on this. This is something that's kind of I've been thinking about, and it's kind of bothering me a little bit. So have you heard about like this comic relief fund, like the comics give back thing?
Yeah, I saw that.
So the comics give back thing is great. I mean, that's a show. I know the guy that runs it. I mean the Laugh Lounge thing, that's great. That's not what I'm talking about. But like, there's a different thing that's like comics relief that I think the Comedy Store started, which initially they started for the paid regulars of the Comedy Store only, but I guess time went on that they were able to outsource it to comedians in general, not just Comedy Store regulars. So it's basically was there for comics in need. It was originally put in place for comics of mental health need and things like that. It couldn't afford doctor visits or therapy visits, stuff like that. That's what it was initially for. So now that this has all happened, they're now allowing you to apply for a grant from it. So if you're a comedian, you can apply for a grant. Like, hey, you have to show proof that you've been a comedian for at least, I think it was 2 years at least. You had to be a professional comedian for at least 2 years, and you had to show that you at least lost, like, I forget how much amount of work. Like, you know, like 3 shows at least or something like that. 3 months worth of work, something like that.
Yeah.
So if you do show it, it's not only for Comedy Store comics. It's like every comic is going to get $500, but you have to be able to show that stuff, right?
Did you apply for that?
No. And here's what, like, I was going to ask your, like, views on. This is what was, like, bothering me a little bit is that I don't need $500. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here's what's bothering me is that I know comics that don't need $500 that have applied for it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like several different comics, I won't mention names, forwarded that to me. And I think that was very nice of them.
Yeah, someone forwarded it to me, too.
Right. It's very nice of them to forward it to me because maybe I did need the help. So that's not what I'm saying. But I do know several comics, which I won't mention their names, that have actually applied who do not need the money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's only a certain amount of money. Like, only, like, 600 comedians are going to actually get the 500. And And someone just told me, like, hey, did you apply for that? And I was just like, no. And they're like, why? And I'm just like, because I don't need $500. And there's another comic who really needs $500.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I've been thinking about that, too, because I'm doing all right now.
Mm-hmm.
However, I just lost all future work.
Mm-hmm.
And all work. Like, I'm actually a dude, you know, I do the road and shit, bro. You know, like, I have my clubs I headline, and a lot of my income comes from stand-up comedy. And I'd say it's kind of like half and half stand-up and acting, you know?
Right.
And all that is gone now.
Yeah.
And I contemplated getting that $500.
Right.
And sure, there's probably people who needed more, but a lot of, like, it's set up for comics who are out of work. I'm a comic who's out of work.
Right.
But then I'm like, okay, I guess I'm not, like, fucking poor right now or anything.
Right.
Like, I'm not, like, my refrigerator has food. So I decided not to apply for it at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this shit goes down for, I mean, that's the thing. It's like $500. It's not going to save your life, you know?
It's not. It's going to help out a little bit. Like, I mean.
And I'm totally about taking hands. You know what? I grew up very poor. We went to the food banks a lot, and a lot of government assistance, you know, single mom and everything. And we did that, and then I'm glad that was there. And when I was on that TV show, Kevin, I had to pay an insane amount of taxes, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you find when everyone gets upset about it, I'm like, oh wow, damn, they do take, like, I'm talking bro, shit ton of taxes.
Yeah.
I was making money, but still, those taxes were there. And I remember thinking, like, okay, I'm basically paying for all those food banks from back in the day.
Yeah, you're just paying,
you know,
back. Yep, exactly.
You're paying back. So it's like one of those things where I'm glad it's there, but comedy is such a weird thing, too, where it's like, what defines a working comic? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Are there, like, who's allowed to do that? Like, are we talking, like, I don't know, like, open mic people? Are they allowed to do it? They probably need some money, but I like, I don't know. It's just a weird thing because, yeah, you don't know.
Well, you have to prove.
Like, oh, is this for me?
You got to prove that, like, you lost work. So I don't know how you prove it. I don't know if they really want to see, like, that your name was on a calendar of a comedy club, or do they just want to see, like, the email of a comedy club canceling you, which I imagine both would work.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. I felt weird about it, too. But
I felt weird about it.
I was kind of feeling weird about that.
And everyone was sending it to me going, like, hurry up and apply before it runs out. And I really appreciate people sending that to me. It's just like, but there's certain people that I know that took it that I was just was like, first of all, one person I know for a fact won the lottery this year. Okay, like, I'm not going to name names, but I know...
What, like the actual lottery?
Yeah, like, I know a comic that won a few hundred thousand, okay?
Yeah.
I know another comic that sold a TV show that, last year for another few hundred thousand. Both of these comics applied for the 500 grand. Like, that just bothers me a little bit. I understand that, like, the rest of your year doesn't look promising. Like, you're not going to have incoming coming in. But, like, the 500 is not going to really make or break you, who might have, like, 100 grand in the bank. But, like, that 500 could help pay, like, a month's rent for another broke comic who actually needs it. You know what I mean?
It's very tough.
It's tough, dude. It's a tough time. But, like I said, everybody on every level... or different levels are feeling it somehow.
Yeah, everyone's feeling it. But I mean, I don't know. Maybe those. You know, I did some shit before, but it's not like I wonder. I'm like, okay, so where's this money gonna go to? You know what I'm saying? Like, I guess people are deserved motherfuckers getting it. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure a bunch of comics who don't deserve it are gonna get it, but I don't know, man. I just feel like. I just felt
even
weird about it.
Even the comics I know that deserve it, I'm like, I don't know. It's just interesting. It's like, who's going to get it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, but hey, people want to help, let people help, I guess. Do whatever.
If it was like a government thing, I'd be like, give me that comedy money.
You
know?
That.
But it's not. It's like money that the Comedy Store raised for like the past several years. And I think that they did like a charity show once a month, you know, to raise the money for it for like several years, and like other comics, like, you know, worked for free for it, you know.
Yeah,
it's just like, it's different. It's like the Comedy Store was like super cool of them to even do something like that.
Yeah. At what point do you freak out? And that's the point. At what point in the money? Because I'm like looking at my account and I'm like, okay, I'm pretty good now, but what about a few months from now?
Right.
Like, that's what I'm thinking about right now, dude. Because literally. Well, I don't know if you know this about me. I don't have a lot of skills in the workforce.
But what about, I don't know, minimalize everything, right? Like, do you have cable?
Yeah.
Cancel that shit, bro.
Okay. Cancel the cable.
It ain't going nowhere. In a few months, if things pick back up, you get it back.
So then what do you do? Just bored in this fucking one-bedroom apartment? Like, no cable.
I mean, you got...
Still, I got to... I don't know. It's like, dude, this has been on my mind all day, because I pay rent at this place too much. And it's like, I was already going to leave before this shit happened, and this shit happened.
Man.
Like,
you know,
I get the idea of tightening the belt and stuff, but I mean, come on, bro. We're talking quarantine. We can't be canceling cable in quarantine, bro. Like, do you want Christy to die?
But how much do you really watch on cable, though? Like, couldn't you?
Lately, it's been a lot, bro. I think you underestimate my cable watching.
Really? I feel like, yeah, I don't know. I always thought people didn't
really
watch it.
There are other ways to get around it. Yeah, there's other ways to get around it. Yeah, I mean, you could just download stuff. I'm like, I'm thinking about doing that, maybe.
I mean, you got Netflix, you got Sling. Sling is only like $25 a month, and it's like basically what all the channels you watch on regular cable.
Yeah. No, that shit's definitely, things are getting tight around here.
Yeah, you just got to tighten the belt a little.
Things are going to get tight. Come up with a cartoon, that'll be the only thing we can do now, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, cartoons, bro.
Dude, everybody made fun of me for years because I still buy DVDs, and I even still buy VHS tapes.
That's right. You have The Office or something, right? You have, like,
yes, I do.
The Office.
I got The Office Seinfeld. DVDs. Yes, I have.
That's
Seinfeld.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? They're pulling The Office off Netflix. They pulled fucking they're pulling
what?
Like all these TV shows off Netflix, and it's like, yeah, well, I still have them. And eventually, dude, when like everybody right now, like the internet's slowing down because everybody's working from home, so everybody's internet and Wi-Fi has like been acting up and being like really super slow. Well, guess what? When your internet crashes and your cable goes out, I got all the DVDs and VHSs, bro. Like,
oh, dude, yeah, that's like your doomsday prepping thing. That's gonna be what you barter for food. They'll be like, "Would you like some beans?" And like, "All right, I have season 3 of The Office. More beans than that."
Yeah. Hey, you got any toilet paper? No, but I have True Lies.
True Lies. Ooh, that's a classic. That might be worth something, bro.
Yeah.
Certain movies are like, it'd be worth more. okay, I don't have True Lies. I've got Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That's a great one. Okay.
That is a good one, yeah. I got The Breakfast Club on VHS.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's worth, like, so many beans right there.
Man.
How are you guys holding up?
Dude, we're doing pretty good. You know, we got entertainment. We have our health. I feel as healthy
how's
as a
dad?
Horse. How's what?
Dad.
My dad's pretty good. He's still working, man. My dad's works security, and I guess that's essential. I don't know. He's still working. You know, my mom is not working, but she's home, you know. And I live really close to my parents, which is great because I get to, you know, check in on them. And
I wish. Dude, I know. And that's one of those things I've been thinking about, too, because there's no reason to be in L.A. anymore. The only reason I came here was for show business. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I knew anyone here. Like,
yeah. And now, like, the show business, correct me if I'm wrong, you know better than me, show business has moved to Atlanta.
Oh, well, no. Like, it's like they film a lot of stuff there, but you still get cast out of
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
All the agents and stuff are out here and all that.
Stand-up-wise, I mean, you can live anywhere.
Yeah.
You yourself.
Yeah, not now. Yeah. Dude, when do you think stand-up's going to come back?
Man, it's tough to say because, first of all, you got to think about, like, when things come back, it's not going to come back. You know what I mean?
No, they're not going to be a bit. Even when they allow them to come back, it's your first thing. Yeah, who's going to be like, let's go to a comedy club tonight?
Right.
There'll be those hardcore people, and they'll go see famous people.
I forget.
You know, like, I wouldn't want to risk.
Oh,
my
for
life
sure.
To see me, you know?
Yeah, we're gonna catch this open mic.
Oh my god! Yeah, no, let's go to, like, maybe if I was on a show with a bunch of other people, then they would go. But I don't,
right.
Yeah.
No, you know, I think it's I'm drawing a little bit of a blank, but I think it might be a old Louis C.K. bit where he talks about, like, the day after slavery. They just expected everyone to be okay with that shit. I think it is a Louis C.K. bit. Remember, like he was just like, you know, I think he was saying how, you know, people still get mad at people for bringing up slavery. Well, it's just like, well, give them time. It's not like the next day everything was cool again. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, right. Like,
think,
all right. Yeah,
right.
I think I remember that.
But not to, you know, like, compare this to slavery, but it did remind me of it because I was thinking, like, you know, as soon as the... the bars open. Like, as soon as they go, like, hey, guys, you can go in public again, you know? I don't think it's going to go back right away like nothing happened.
Yeah, a lot of people still lost. Even if this virus didn't happen, just look at the jobs. Going to a comedy club is expendable income, you know?
Yeah, or even going out to a bar. But then again, there's going to be the people who are going to be able to go to a bar when they finally open, and they've been dying to go to a bar, you know? Like, people who really miss the bar being opened, you know? Like, I know a bar that I go to where there's regulars. Every time you go in there, you're going to see a face, you know? Like, Cheers, you know? Like, the TV show Cheers. Yeah. It's like there's so many bars like that. And then, like, I always think about, like, right now, what are those people doing? Like, they went to the bar every night probably because, like, they were lonely, right? Or, like, they didn't have a wife or a husband or something, so they go to the bar every night. Like Cheers, you know? They were all there every night. And I think, like, those people right now are probably hurting pretty bad. Not because they're alcoholics.
There's definitely going to be a bunch of mental health issues that come out of that.
Yeah, maybe a little depression. And then, so I think that there's going to be some people that when the bars finally reopen, that they're going to just pack the bars, and then no one's going to be able to get in. So I think at first it's going to be crazy to go out in public. People are going to be like so bored they can't wait to go out and celebrate type deal, you know?
Yeah.
And then you got people who are just afraid to go out again. So, I mean, I think it's just going to take a while to come back. So to answer your question about when do I think stand-up's going to come back, man, I don't know. And I really hope that people get comfortable with going out to a stand-up comedy show before this whole, like, online comedy thing takes over.
Did you talk to Joey Diaz yet?
I've talked to him, like, every like, at least once a week since this happened.
Okay, because, I heard from, I talked to Renee the other day, and he said he was talking to him, and that he was saying, like, buckle down. It's not coming back for a bit.
Yeah, you know? He said that to me.
So, and when I heard that, I've heard that from a lot of big dudes that I respect that have been doing it forever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if these guys are saying it, I'm like, damn it. It's okay.
Yeah.
It might not be coming back. It's not how we knew it, you know?
I think it's true to a certain level. But then again, I think some of those dudes that we respect saying that, you have to understand they're coming from a point of view of filling a 1,400 seater. Does that make sense?
Oh, well, yes. I get what you're saying there.
Not that they're wrong, and I think that it is going to be a bit. I think it is going to be a bit before we all come back to normal. But I think for them, it seems like a longer haul because they need to fill a theater that sits like 1,400 at least. I think you and I are going to start out doing like 25 people shows. We can at least, we're not making money, but we can get on stage, you know what I mean?
And that's the thing. It's like I would just I had a bunch of dates before this happened, and I'm not expecting this. I'm just still like, you know, like, oh, remember when you booked me before the shit? Maybe they'll come back, but I'm not like counting on it or anything, you know? Especially because I understand how the clubs are gonna have. I know club owners, you know, club owners.
Yeah.
One of my best friends, a club owner, and it's not like when this shit, when it does get fixed, they're going to have some, they're going to need to do some special events, you know what I'm saying?
Right. But they've also got to keep, like, health in mind, you know? They're going to have the health department breathing down their necks and making sure people are doing everything properly now. And, you know, they're liable for a lot of stuff, the club owners.
Man, I thought you were going to make me less depressed on
I'll bring over some top ramen.
We need to. I've been doing this video thing. I want to do it with you at some point because there's cool stuff. I mean, there's fun stuff you can do online still.
Oh, absolutely,
But I just miss holding your face.
Man, I'll tell you what, dude. I do get, like, I'm not the type of guy to get depressed.
You never have been. You've always had that. I've never seen you like. I've had plenty of friends break down. You're not one of them, you know?
I mean, I have a lot inside I can be depressed about, and I don't really ever talk about it. or share it or show it. But I will tell you that not being able to go to a bar kind of breaks my heart a little bit. Not that I'm an alcoholic, but there's something magical to me about a bar. Like, there always has been. Like, if you think about a bar, you can go back all the way, you know, to the 1800s and older and hear about people walking into a saloon, a bar, and, you know, meeting a stranger and having a conversation and a drink or talking with the bartender. It's like the oldest craft in time. And there's something really sad about the fact that we can't just go into one right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
That is it's a change.
You know, that was one of the most beautiful things, that we can go to a bar and have a drink and talk to a stranger, and you meet interesting people, and then you leave and you never see him again. and I don't know, man, it just kind of saddens me. And then you can close the theaters, you can close a comedy club, but a bar was like, dude, I made a living at a bar for many years, whether serving drinks or telling jokes. When the comedy clubs wouldn't book us, the bars would, you know? It's just kind of, I don't know, man. I get a little depressed about that. I'm a little depressed about wearing a mask. Like, that gets me down. When I walk outside, I see people wearing masks. And I'm 50-50 on it. Like, I want to wear a mask and I want to save myself and I want to save other people from spreading a virus, right? Like, I get the mask.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when I hear someone tell me I have to wear a mask, like when I see police telling people you got to put it on, it makes me really depressed. I'm just like, dude, we're becoming less and less America.
Yeah.
The longer this goes on.
We're becoming less and less the world we lived in. Not even, this is worldwide.
Yeah. But I mean, America, if we don't want to cover our mouth, we don't cover our mouth. We show you our face. We're not an Islamic fucking country, you know?
No.
We have the right to do that. Like, it's just a little crazy. It's just getting me down, dude. It's really getting me down.
It is. It's a depressing thing. It's a losing. And then you hear all this other stuff. You start listening to your conspiracy friends. And
yeah.
Like, well, you're right. And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do, bro? I've got a friend who's getting so political right now over everything. And I'm
right.
Like, what do you want to have a revolution? Let's do it. What do you want? What do you want me to be? What am I doing? Like,
yeah. I mean, in some ways,
dude,
this has divided everybody. And then in some ways, it's brought people together who have been divided for a long time.
Yeah.
Well,
my ego is being taken out, which is good. I think definitely my ego is shrinking by the day. Just because, before I've been doing stand-up since I was 17, and there hasn't been, I want to say, dude, there hasn't been 7 days since I was 17, since I've been doing stand-up, that I haven't been on stage.
Yeah.
And
it sucks,
get something from that. I feel good after stage. Like, not all the time, but most of the time I feel good. You just feel good.
Yeah.
And that goodness is gone now. That little boost I got throughout the week, you know, it was like, yeah. Just put a smile on your face, you know, after you kill. That's not there. So,
dude, I started stand up when I was 20 years old, and I feel the same way. And since I was 20 years old, I haven't not been on stage for at least once a week. At least once a week.
And this, and this is like a this isn't. You can try to do. I see some comics try to do stand up shows online, try to do things on this. This will never. This computer world, it's not gonna be the same feelings of live person to person comedy. I don't think I can. I haven't been able yet to find that feeling. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hey, God bless their heart for trying. I have tremendous amount of respect for people for trying and are going like, hey, I'm going to do something. I'm not taking this lying down. But you're 100% right. There's no replacement for the live performance of a stand-up comedian.
Yeah. I just been, that's like, and I've been really trying to not be selfish. I've been trying not to look at me, not look at Dusty's world, you know, because so many people have it worse. So, I mean, I'm
for sure.
Like, yeah. Even, and I've always tried to, like, keep that in mind, that even when things suck, it could be a lot worse, man. And then I get mad at myself because I'm like, well, look at you. You think you're so, you know what I'm saying? It's like this cycle of like me just beating myself up.
Yeah. No, you're right, yeah. Dude. That's the right way to look at it. But what about creativity wise? You can't get on stage. Do you have any other outlet of creativity? Are you writing? Are you coming up with ideas for new bits and writing them down, or what are you doing?
Yeah. I was developing a show right before this whole thing went down, and it's getting a little bit of traction now just because it was animated and no one could go outside, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I've just been like, same thing as us all. I downloaded, I'm getting my whole thing set up right now, this whole OBS thing, and I'm trying to do like a live broadcast. I'm trying to teach myself computers again. I used to be pretty good at it, but I'm trying to like get back into like this whole thing, you know? And like, I downloaded a bunch of funny sound effects. You want to hear one?
Sure.
hang on. This is yeehaw. See, that's good.
And so you downloaded this?
Recognize this one?
Oh yeah. Yeah, dude. That's what it sounds like when I ejaculate.
Yeah.
How did you know?
Paper thin.
Oh, that's funny, dude.
I gotta do a bunch of silly stuff like we all are.
That's good, man. Yeah, I've been feeling inspired lately because I went and dude, oh my god, you were there. You remember when I recorded an album? Like
at the where was this? Was this a
at the old
this
Haha,
the hot, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
At the old
Haha.
Yeah. It was like right after I got divorced, and it was like all material about my ex, like, or like a lot of it anyway. And I just was like, I want to retire all this material and never do it again. So I recorded an album. And then, you know, I never did anything with that album, but I did like burn copies of it, and I sold them on the road for a while. And
yeah.
And that was fine. But the actual album, I never released it publicly anywhere. So now, since I have this downtime, I actually have the original recording, and dude, I'm putting it out. I've actually edited it out a little bit. You know, when you go back and you listen to old material, there's like some stuff that like, oh, that was stupid. You know.
Yeah. How do you edit it? Whenever you edit it, do you like, because I've tried editing my stand up and it sounds weird sometimes. Like, as in it's like a, like you can tell that I took something out. You know
yes, I know it was a little
I'm not
tricky.
Good at editing.
Me either. I'm not a master at all. But doing the podcast for a couple years has taught me some pretty basics about.
Oh yeah.
And you know what, dude? What I was so prepared for that special that I you know wrote out my set list in the order I wanted it to be on in the CD. So there was very little editing that needed to be done anyway. But the jokes that I didn't want, they're very like cut and dry, basic cut, you know, just cut and delete. And and I would always cut during a laugh, you know, so I would like actually let the joke happen and then I cut during the laugh. And then the next joke, I would start at the laugh again. So it just seemed like I ended a joke, people were still laughing, and then I started a new one, you know, so you didn't really hear it.
Dude, that's funny, man.
But I didn't really edit out too much, just like a little bit here and there. But now
35.
No, it's 51 minutes right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was
man,
a little
I'm
over an hour,
because,
and I edited out.
Dude, I have some, but I don't have an. I think I got the last thing that I did that I could put out there was San Jose, and I only did like 35 minutes.
Okay.
And
but is it video or audio?
It's just audio.
It's audio.
It's video, but that video is weird, so I just do the audio. But I'm just thinking that's like a good idea, dude. You should totally just Did you already put that out?
Not yet. I'm working on it right now. I've literally just finished editing it, and it's ready to go.
Throw it out there.
I've already uploaded it to CD Baby, like, today.
To what?
To CD Baby. That's where you go to distribute. Like, that's a company that where you distribute your comedy albums, and they market it. They publicize it for you. They put it on Prime. They put it on Amazon. They put it on iTunes for sale.
Oh, wow.
And then once I have the actual, like, and they give you a barcode for it, and then you can actually order physical CDs. And then when you have the barcode, you can go to Pandora and upload it to Pandora. So it's going to be, like, everywhere pretty soon.
Really?
Yeah. But it was really inspiring to go back and listen to my – I mean, dude, I recorded it on September 25th, 2014. That was 6 years ago. Like, I was almost 6 years ago. It was like 5.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And dude, it was really inspiring to go back and listen to it, because I was listening to it and going, like, you know when you listen to yourself of old material, you're like, oh, I can't believe I thought this was funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the further you progress, the more you're going to look back on your old self and realize that you were shit. But that's always going to happen. But it was really inspiring because I was listening to some of it and going, like, this is a really good bit. And then some of it I was listening to and going, this is a really good bit, but it could have gone further. And now with my skills, I realize how it could have gotten further with it. And then there's some where it was just trash, which I edited out. But
I got to leave that on the cutting room floor.
Yeah. It was pretty cool, though, man. That was a cool, like, little week I had during this time off of just going back and listening to old material. And actually, one joke I still have, but it's been, like, rewritten so much to where there's, like, so many new, more advanced punchlines where I was just like wow, dude, like, I forgot that I had that joke and it was so basic before. It was almost like it wasn't even done. You know,
yeah.
It's been pretty interesting, dude, to say the least. I mean, I've been making the best of it. And you know how there's all those things in the back of your mind, like, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. And you never have the time for it. Well, this is the time for it.
This is. Yeah. Yeah. It really is. And I mean, I don't know about you. I wasn't like, it's not like right before this happened, I was out hiking every day. You know what I'm saying? So, it's quarantine, but I'm not losing as many hours outside time as other people, you know?
Right. Well, the joke's on fucking everybody else, bro.
I feel better right now. Wait, what'd you say?
I was going to say the joke's on everybody else because, like, all these comics talking about, man, it's going to be years before we come back. And it's, you know what I mean? And it's just like, well, yeah, for you, because you're a fucking touring comic. Like, you know, like, all these, like, fucking, like, bigger names are all like, dude,
and you know
I'm postponing my tour. But it's like, well, you have a tour. I don't fucking have a tour. The joke's on you. I was lining up bar shows for the rest of the year. You know what I'm saying? By the way, if you hear sounds, that's because Darren Carter is trying to call me for the fifth time today. Those are those beeps and sounds that you hear on.
That's a beam of positivity. Like, he's always positive.
No. I love Darren, but he's just always calling me while I'm recording a podcast. And now that I actually do call-ins, you can hear someone's beeping on the other line.
Oh, that's funny, man.
I should have answered
bro.
Dude,
I've loved talking with you, man. This has made me feel a lot better.
Oh, I'm glad, man.
It really is, man. It's one of those things. It's kind of because it does get your brain at least in, I don't know, talking to another comic mode. Like, feels good. You know?
Yeah, dude. Hey, man.
Someone who gets this. That's what it is. Someone it's talking with, it's like you know what's up. You know, I can't tell my mom how it sucks not going up anymore.
Right.
She doesn't get out.
I get, dude, I'm dying over here. I'm dying not be able to go on stage. I thought of like 3 new jokes today, and I can't even go on stage anywhere and try them. It sucks.
Yeah, it's like interesting. Will there be a big, once this is all done and we're able to go out with all of our quarantine material, will we just go out and we'll just test our shit again?
Dude, that's the other thing I'm worried about.
Funny. I guess that was.
When you ask me, how long before comedy comes back, here's the other thing I'm worried about, dude, is when we come back, there's going to be no other material to talk about but this.
Oh, yeah.
And then all the Bill Burrs and the Rogans and the Louis C.K.'s.
They'll do the big one.
And the Chappelle's. They're going to do it all. And then we're going to be all hacky.
Oh, yeah. I can already see Bill Burr. Like, quarantine. You're back? Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, here's how hacky we all are. Here's how hacky we all are. In 2009, Bill Burr had a quarantine joke.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
We're already that late.
Maybe we can just lie and pretend that we weren't in quarantine. Just be like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I was having a blast.
Right.
And nothing happened.
Yeah, man. But I mean, the good thing is, though, is that you're just being positive and your brain is still working and you're still being creative. And whether it's a good joke or not, or it's a hacky joke or not, at least your brain's still in the stand-up mode.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, I always think of like those, there was some movie I saw, some POW or something. It was about like POWs, like how you don't go insane. It's like you gotta shave, you know, or like shit like that. Like don't let go of your dignity or whatever.
Oh, I gotcha. Like,
dude, I quit shower. I gotta take a shower. I'll remind myself, like, just get in the shower, Dustin.
Oh, yeah.
Do it for you.
Get up, even though you're not going to work, get up every day and shower.
I wash those huevos, man.
You know, dude, you know how like when you watch a movie about a guy who got fired, but he gets up every morning and puts a suit on?
Oh, yeah.
For the first
like
2 weeks.
The dad who's like sneaking. You know, my dad did that. I didn't know much about him, but my mom told me that he got fired, but just left every day and just pretended to go somewhere.
Really?
What a weirdo. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he would just, but he was like cheating on her and stuff, so he would just get up, he didn't, and then one day she went to the place and like, it was like Domino's, and she was like, where's Mario? Well, he hasn't worked here in like 2 weeks.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And he left every day with the Domino's shirt on. The little Domino's hat. And then he went to some other chick's house and she was like, ooh, he's got a job.
Yeah, that was a constant. He was playing the pizza delivery boy part every day.
Fuck, man. That's funny. See, we got material that is not quarantine related.
No, that's right. Yeah, we're just going to have to dig before.
There you go, dude. Yeah. But hey, you know what, Dusty? Before we finish this podcast, you know what, dude? I know you know what I'm talking about when I tell you that how much fun comedians have when they get together. Like right now, you and I talking and we're just laughing and we're coming up with ideas and premises. And you know, when you get together with comics, it's the best, dude. And you know, when you get together with comics and you start, dude, what if we filmed this? Or what if we wrote that? Oh my God, that'd be so funny. And we just have a ball, dude. But the problem we've always had is that we have way too much fun hanging, talking about it than actually doing it.
We do. You're right. Oh, man, yeah. Because it's almost like sometimes I'll get the satisfaction, like, just saying a movie idea. Oh, I already wrote that. Okay.
Right?
That's weird.
You have so much fun coming up with the idea because you're hanging with comics and you're being creative and you're talking and making each other laugh and they help you. Oh, dude, you know what I mean? That, like, when you go home, you don't actually, like, write it out. But now, if you could take...
I think a lot of us, too, have, like, ADD or something.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
In the moment. Yeah, just sitting down. For me, sitting down is tough. Like, just... Yeah, I like the beginning phases of anything.
Right.
You know,
and then the next day you go on stage and you do the same old bits you've always been doing. But then like the night before, we were like, bro, that's a great idea for a new bit. You should write it out. Let's have a writing session. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It never happens. It is a lot of like,
But if you can take any positivity, if you could take any positivity from this conversation and some positivity in what's going on in the world, we've finally been given the time to do the good ideas that we came up with because we don't have the option to hang with each other right now. So now take the time and let's do the ideas. Let's write it out.
You're absolutely right, man. Yeah. Yes.
So let's just take it for what it is. Let's play this hand out.
Yeah, brother.
Well, listen, dude, it's late and I appreciate you, taking the time to come on the podcast again. When you get your video,
anytime, man, anytime, dude, I love it.
Yeah, man, it was. You know what, man, it was great talking to you, and I feel like I actually was out at a bar, you know, or a show or something waiting to go on, and just hanging with you, talking and laughing and stuff. So it was great.
I did get that. Yeah, it feels good, man. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Yeah, you're just inside all day, you know.
Yeah, you ain't gotta explain it, man. I get it. But yeah, dude, I appreciate it. I know it's late, and you know, you got your girl over there. Tell her I said hello. Tell Christy I said hello. And
hello, she says hi.
Hi, Christy, and this was a lot of fun. I appreciate your time, man. And when you get your video up and going, let me know. I'll be happy to call in, man.
Dude, yeah, thanks, man. That'd be awesome.
Where are you at? You in Hollywood or are you in the Valley? Where are you at?
I'm in Hollywood. I'm right by Runyon Canyon.
Okay, cool. Well, man, you know what, dude? If you need anything, let me know. If you're having a hard time getting anything at the supermarkets, I'm usually out and about. So I'll keep an eye open if you need something.
Oh, man, thanks, bro.
No worries. Anytime, dude. All right, man. Thanks for calling in, and just let me know if you need anything. I love you, buddy.
You too, brother. Love you, man.
Later.
Take it easy.
Bye.
I'll send this over too.
Okay. Oh, awesome. Bye. Thanks. Bye. Man, I love Dustin Ybarra so much. We have so many great memories together. Honestly, guys, I want to tell you that Dustin, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I guess we should have asked him while he was on the line. Dustin, I think, moved to California from Texas when he was 26 years old, or maybe 24, I want to say. And so he's been doing comedy longer than me. And I started when I was 20. He started, he said, when he was, I think he said 17. And he moved to California when he was like, I want to say 24 or 26. And, you know, we were both just young kids, man. And Dustin was always so funny. And, you know, not just Dustin, but there's so many comics that we just have grown accustomed to just hanging at clubs, man. There's something about just hanging at the clubs and talking and laughing and joking around with each other and being funny and relating to each other and stuff that only we get, you know. There's definitely some sort of brotherhood with comics that only we get, and I'm sure that's the case with any craft or art that you guys practice too. Just you know, I always say this, but don't forget that the Homeschool Podcast is about a document of the journey. And even though we're talking about you know, topical things and just being up to date on everything, we still always talk about the art and the rise of the artist and how it has affected us during the obstacles that we go through. And this certainly is an obstacle, and we're happy to share our experience with you guys. So thank you for tuning in. This has been another really fun episode of Homeschool Podcast, and we have another great week. You heard what I was telling the Dustin. We always have fun coming up with the ideas, but we never have time to actually do the ideas. Now life has given you a very rare opportunity of time, a lot of time that you didn't have before. So now get it done. I've said it for like the last 3 episodes in a row. When we do come back, you want to hit the ground running. You do not want to be playing catch up. It might be unavoidable, but at least if you tried, then you can't be mad at yourself. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening. I'm Augustino Zoida. Kevin Lyons, the co-host of the podcast, is not here. I just don't usually have him drive all the way over here and sit in studio during times like these unless it's necessary and if I'm just having a call in. But we just like having him anyway, though. So we'll still have him call in the future and stuff like that. But right now I got him working on other stuff. He's helping me editing with the CD, getting the comedy album ready for you guys, as well as new t-shirts and stuff. So so he's here in spirit. You can hit him up on The Real Kev Lyons on Instagram. I'm at Augustino Zoida. Head on over to homeschoolpod.com. Click on sponsors for masterclass. Buy a year, gift a year. Also click on personal chef to go to have your very own personal chef emailing you your menu for the week, and you can pick your menu and have the individual meals mailed to you right now. Sign up, okay? And all these links are going to be in the description. And then while you're on the website, why don't you click on merch, and you can support the podcast by picking up a t-shirt or something. And I really, really love to see it when you guys post it online, Instagram or Twitter, and you tag me in it that you got one of the t-shirts, something like that. It really makes us feel good. Like, keeps us going another week, you know? I hope that you guys have a great week. I'm Augustino Zoida, and this is Homeschooled Podcast.
Homeschooled Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschooled Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
I don't want to do that.
No, okay.
I don't want to do that at all.